不会分
I will make this a blessing that really you need to leave and build yourself up. It is more surprising when you start to actually get to reading the Bible. You know, some people, they take the attitude, you know, it's nothing to do with me, and you know, I'm not a religious kind of person, and so, it's got nothing, as you say, to me, but on the contrary, you'd be surprised to get reading the Bible, and you find after all, it's got a lot to say to you, about you. In fact, God speaks in the Bible directly about you, about your circumstances, and of course, about your being, your character, and your future. You know, there's a lot of people, I guess, in Boston today would like to be able to peer into the future. But some of you, the moment you get your newspaper, first place you turn to is the stars, because you want to peek into the future. You want to know what the future holds for you, what's going to happen to you. Are you going to be rich? Are you going to be poor? Are you going to be healthy? Are you going to be ill? Everybody wants to know what the future holds for them. Some people, they go to the fortune teller. Some people pay a lot of money to know about their future. And of course, you go to these people and they just tell you what you want to hear. Anyhow, when you turn to the Bible, you say, here is the truth, and your future is all marked out in the Bible, in God's truth, because He alone knows what the future holds for anybody. Any people, any nation, and it's all here, written down in God's book, your future, what God thinks about you, and what God is going to do with you. So it's important, you see, after all, that you read the Bible, that you consider, you know, what God has to say. So, for that reason, well, we offer you a free coffee of an extract from the Bible. Yours to take, no cost, no obligation to you. We can see what maybe God is speaking to you. So, you see, it's God's Word, it's the Bible, can't do you no harm, only do you good, if you read it, that is, and believe it. So, today we want to speak about atheism and about God's response to atheism. I live in a country, you might have noticed, where godlessness abounds. We've got a whole lot of people in this country. You might not be one of them, but we do have a lot in this country who subscribe to what we would call godless atheism. It's religion, and it's very, very popular. They say, they will tell you that they don't want to be religious. They've rejected any idea that there is a God. Such as the Polish gentleman who just asked me a question a moment or two ago. You see, people, it's the most popular religion in the United Kingdom today.
You could call it godless atheism. You could call it secularism. You can call it evolutionism. You can call it what you want. Godless atheism is the religion of the day, popularized by people like Charlie Darwin and Mr. Dawkins. You know, the fellow that's deluded about God. And many people, of course, have swallowed. Many people have been bewitched by this modern-day religious philosophy. There is no God. In the Bible, God says, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. That is the darkest, corrupted mind, sinful, wicked mind, says there is no God. I say religion because that's what it is. They say they're not religious, but they are. They say they're scientific, but they're not. Because you see, the philosophy, the idea, the notion, the foolish notion in your head that there is no God, you see, is what you believe. It's not what you can prove. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, scientific about it at all. It is simply religious dogma. It is simply what you believe. You say to me, I believe there is no God. That's what you believe. That's your faith. That's your religion. But your religion, can I suggest to you, isn't doing you very much good. As I look around your town, as I look around your nation, as I look around a society that is entrenched in this religion called godless atheism. In fact, Jesus Christ himself in the Bible, he says, by their fruits ye shall know them. You examine a thing, an idea, whatever it is, you examine it by examining its fruit. And when you look at the fruit of your modern-day religion, godless atheism, well, the fruit is very, very bad indeed. In fact, if you look around you in your society today, and the depravity and degeneracy, the lack of kindness, love, wholesomeness, well, since you embrace this godless atheism, this popular religion of yours, it seems to me that as a nation, as a country, you just sink deeper and deeper into the pits of sin and wickedness. Rioting, killing, looting, burning, raping on your city streets just a few months ago. And of course you've got your millions and millions of unborn infants slaughtered, dragged from their mother's womb, and slaughtered in the name of abortion. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you've got the old age. They want to be taught the death now. Euthanasia, a good death, they call it. That, you see, is the fruit of your religion, popular religion called godless atheism. Murder, slaughter, unborn infants and aged people. And then in between you've got all kinds of diseases that God has plagued you with because of your fornication, sodomizing, all kinds of filth and uncleanness that fills your land today. The result of your godless atheism, your corrupted minds, your darkened minds, your philosophy, your foolish notion that there is no God. That, people, that's the popular religion in England, in the United Kingdom today. The one that most people subscribe to it. But you see, people, it's a necessity. The Bible makes it clear to us, for a person to know God, the true and living God that is, the one who made the heavens and the earth. Bible begins with this statement, in the beginning, God created. No, he didn't evolve. No, it didn't happen by chance. It didn't just by some accident out of the unknown come into being. God in the beginning, God. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. There has to be somewhere, there has to be a beginning. God brought about that beginning, not some stupid imaginary explosion in eternity. Explosions, believe it or not, do not create things. I spent 15 years in military service and I never saw or heard of an explosion that put things together. Explosions are destructive, they blow things apart. And yet your scientists, your religious gurus, Darwin, Dawkins and Company Limited, sell you the notion that by some chance explosion, the universe was brought into being. If you can believe that, you've got more faith than I've got. But it's not saving faith. It's not the word of faith that will get you to heaven and get you out of your sin. No, you're harder to know God. That is, the God who in the beginning created heaven and earth, all things created by God, you yourself, in order to know this God and the God of the Bible, people, you must first know yourself. You see, unless you know yourself and know what you truly are like, well, you'll never seek after God, you'll never have any need of Him. But you see, the problem is that the most of you live under this delusion that you're okay. My colleagues, as they give out leaflets here on the street, I dare say that the response that they get from most people is, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. You think you're okay, you look in the mirror in the morning, and it tells you the same lie every single day, that you're the fairest of them all. All you see, in the mirror on the wall, all you see is the outward image. All you see is the makeup. All you see is the hairdo. All you see is the clothes. And you live under this grand delusion that you're the fairest of them all. Nothing wrong with you. Who could possibly have anything against you? But, you look into the mirror of God's Word, and I tell you, you will see something different altogether. What does a person see when they look into the mirror of God's law? Not the fairest of them all, I tell you. Let me give you God's own description of you. A heart deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it, says God? Not you, not I, unless God reveals it to you. No, people, that's the state. That's the condition of every human being born into this world. You see, the problem with God, or the problem you have with God, is that you don't like the truth, and you don't like the truth about yourself. And God, you see, will always tell you the truth. He's not like these people who are always stroking you, you know, like your politicians, just telling you what you want to hear. God tells it to you like it is. But he does it for the purpose that you will come to a knowledge of yourself, and that you will turn from yourself and turn to him, to Jesus Christ, and find salvation. You see, in the Bible, God describes humanity in this way. Conceived in your mother's womb, conceived, born in sin. You come into the world a sinner. Even the tiniest newborn baby born this morning, God says, is a rotten sinner. You look and you say, oh, beautiful, innocent, little child. This is God, yet another sinner. Because we are all of us born in sin. And that's why we live in sin. And you see, unless your nature's changed, unless there's a transformation of cataclysmic proportions inside you, I tell you, as you were born, so shall you live, and so shall you die. You see, people, it's a sad, but it's a very solemn, but a very truthful thing that I say to you this afternoon. The majority of people under the sound of my voice here this afternoon will go out of this world the same way in which they were born and the way that they lived in their sin. Unless you hear, unless you hearken to God's voice, unless you respond to his call, I tell you, to repent and believe the gospel, well, in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, ye shall all likewise perish. So you see, first and foremost, in order to know God, you must know yourself, true self, what you are really, really like. And in a word, shot through with sin. To a man, to a woman, from the top of your head to the tip of your toes, shot through with sin. Sin, you see, and of course, the sin inside you works out of you, and that's where comes all the thieving, all the killing, all the murder, all the uncleanness, all the filthiness that fills your land and fills your nation today. It comes out of the human heart. Jesus says so. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, blasphemy, murder, theft, well, every kind of ugly deformity that you can see in the human race. It comes out of the human heart. And if you want to multiply that throughout the nation and throughout the world, that makes for a pretty nasty world in which to live. What kind of life you live in. But you see, the answer, the cure to it, does not lie in unbelief, does not lie in godless atheism. Dawkins, Darwin has no answer to all this trouble and nastiness that you find in your world. They have a lot of clever ideas that they fill your mind with, but they have no answer. No answer, no cure. You see, only God has the cure for the human heart. And that's why he sent his son Jesus Christ into the world. Christ Jesus came into the world. What for? To make the religious. No, you've got enough of that throughout the world. You can't choose any kind of religion you like. That will not make you any better. That will not change your heart. That will not save you.
get a lot.
You can have the pop variety, or you can have Becker's variety, or anything else in between. And if you want to be saved, if you want to be right with God, if you want to be delivered from your sin, and if you want to go to heaven, then says Jesus, you must be born again. There must be a supernatural act of God that changes the heart. Now you go where you will, any shop you like in Boston, any market stall, and ask them, please, can you fix my heart? You can go to the REC, they'll fix your car for you, but you can't fix your heart. No, people, there's only one person who can change a body's heart, and that is, you got it in one, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what he came into the world for. So that the slate of the heart could be wiped clean, start begin all over again. Born again from above, not returning to your mother's womb, and being born again in the flesh, but born again spiritually. A miracle from God, making you a new creature in Jesus Christ, giving you a new heart, and taking away, giving you understanding, enabling you to see that God is. God, you already know that. You might defy God, you might live in defiance of the truth. Bible says that the wrath of God is being revealed, that is, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You see, the truth of the matter is, you know that God is, because he has shown it unto you. So, you know that he is, but what you do is, you suppress the truth, you hold it dead, because you don't want that to be the truth. You want to change the truth, and so you exchange it for a lie. So you believe Darwin, you believe Dawkins, you believe anybody but God. But people, that won't do. That won't change you, and that won't get you to heaven, and that won't get you out of the mess that you're in with God. Prayer is just a matter of indifference, a matter of, well, how you see things and how I see things. Well, that would be fine. We could agree to disagree and go on our separate way. But it's not quite that simple. Because you see, the Bible says that the wrath of God is being revealed against your ungodliness. But the Bible also says that there's a day of God's wrath coming when he will fall upon all ungodly, all unrighteous, all unbelieving people and sweep them into the damnation of hell. So you see, it's imperative that you hear, that you read this message that God has for you, the Bible, that you understand what it is you are, what it is that God requires of you, and what it is that God one day is going to do with you. I mentioned at the beginning the future, your future. Two destinations lie before you, heaven or the damnation of hell. Two destinations, two ways, man's way or God's way. God's way is Jesus Christ. I am the way, says Jesus, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation says the Bible, if any of the dead under the entire canopy of heaven whereby a person might be saved, the name of Jesus Christ, he alone, you see, can save you from that wrath to come. Jesus Christ, there were many people 2,000 years ago who were called Jesus, and many dead who died on Roman crosses, but only one who was the Son of God and God the Son, and only one who died an atoning death on a cross, dying for sinners. And this Jesus Christ we present to you this afternoon. We are here to tell you, in a word, how it is that you might be saved from the wrath to come. Step number one is that you repent. Seek ye the Lord, the Bible said. Seek ye the Lord.
No one's listening to this, man. You do know that, don't you? You can't answer the questions you want to know.
Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thinking. You see, your thinking, ideas, philosophy about God, about yourself, about your world, about life and death, about the future, about eternity, all of these things must change. Repentance is what the Bible calls it. Repentance is the first required step. Words of the Lord Jesus, first one recorded in the Bible, are these: repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance, turning from sin, and all that you know and is revealed to you that is sin, contrary to God's holy and loving nature, and contrary to his commandments, people must be turned from. And you turn in faith, believing, to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, believing on him, and him alone can you be saved from that wrath to come. So, to go back to my original question statement that I began with, heaven to respond to today's atheism, to the godlessness, atheistic godlessness of your society today, it is one of extreme displeasure at God's part. In fact, I would say burning, holy wrath and indignation. If the wrath of God is upon you as a nation and as an individual who belongs to this nation, is unquestionable, and the evidence of that is all over your country and all over your own self. Only one person can lift the sword of God's judgment and wrath from over you. That person is Jesus Christ. His shed blood, his blood spilled on Calvary's cross, his blood spilled in order that you might be washed, made clean, and made acceptable to God. But I tell you, there is no other way. There is no other way into rightness with God. There is no other way out of the mess of sin. There is no other way out from under the judgment of God. There is no other way to turn away the displeasure of God from you. No other way. Jesus Christ and his blood. Christ died, you see, for ungodly people. He came. He said himself, he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So you see, it's repenting And it's believing. Believing that is in somebody else, not you. Believing not in Santa Claus. Believing not in Richard Dawkins. Believing not in Charlie Darwin, but believing in Jesus Christ. When you believe the propositions concerning Jesus Christ in the Bible, presented to you there in God's Word, when you believe on Him, then and only then will you be saved. So you see, the Bible does have a lot to say about you, much to say about you, and so I encourage you this afternoon to look into its pages, get one for yourself, or take a copy of an extract from the Bible offered to you this afternoon, free of charge, without cost or obligation to you. It would be a good starting place. Read, see for yourself, check it out. Don't take my word for it, take God's word for it. Read for yourself and see what He has to say about you. Who knows? You're reading my praying for you, that is. Who knows? Maybe, just maybe, God will command the light to shine into your heart and mind and reveal to you the knowledge of Himself in Jesus Christ. You know, the best advice that I could give to anybody here this afternoon is to take a copy of God's Word home with you. Lock yourself away somewhere so nobody can disturb you. And get on your knees before this open book, reading and praying and calling upon the name of the Lord. Because the Bible does say that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ that is, shall be saved. Get on your knees and cry out to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the best advice that I can afford you. And of course, to begin with, you need to accept God's word. So, it's offered to you, as I say, free of charge, no cost, no obligation to you. If you'd like to have one, then please feel free to come and that is normal. God bless you and have mercy on your soul.